ago, we had thought of the problems of the concepts of tolerance and intolerance. Even the text we read this morning, I'm not going to expound that particular text this morning, but it is a general subject, a general topic for your information. Even though I'm not going to expound that verse, verse 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness," and also it says, "Thou hast hated iniquity." Love, hated, hatred. It seems that there is a tolerance and intolerance subject implied. These problems are far more complex than we think, because there are very subtle changes of the meanings of these words. Traditionally, tolerance means to recognize and respect others' beliefs or practices without necessarily sympathizing or agreeing with them. In other words, a tolerance refers to respectful endurance of different views without consenting to them. It also includes to take certain offenses from different views. So there are people who suggest different ideas and different, you know, views on same topics. We are different from them. However, their offense is not going to be turned into violence within us. That's what I'm talking about, tolerance. We often say that we agree to disagree. On the one hand, we hold on to our convictions and beliefs without compromise. And on the other hand, we recognize others' rights to hold on to their views. We do not impose our views upon others by force or violence. Thus, the attitude we have toward each other is of tolerance. If we do not endure or are not patient with other views, then we become intolerant. By tolerance, we respect everyone's right to hold on to his beliefs. Thus, we are free to express our thoughts and to compare what we believe with what others believe. However, modern-day concept of tolerance demands more than what I just have explained. This new concept demands us to accept others' views as truthful as ours. In other words, respecting their rights to holding on to their views is not sufficient enough unless we accept their views as equally truthful as ours. I think these days LGBTQI, that those issues from that particular movement is really imposing lots of things upon us. A good example today is a pronoun controversies. Some people demand others to use pronouns for them as they want, though what they ask is normer, according to normer and traditional English language. A teacher in Ireland was dismissed because he did not comply with a student's demand to use a different pronoun from his biological sex. Objections are not tolerated. In this new concept of tolerance, its advocates argue that if we were truly tolerant toward other opinions, we must stop opposing their views and accept them to be equally true as ours. Thus, expressing our disagreements is not good because we may offend other people. It effectively removes the freedom of expression from us. Whatever is going to offend anybody, we are not supposed to say it, express it. As a result, our freedom of expression is restrained. Here is a huge change implied. In the traditional understanding of tolerance, we believe what we believe and respect others' beliefs without consenting to them. Under the new concept of tolerance, we are not entitled to express our disagreement with others by objecting or opposing them, because it is a form of intolerance, or some people may use the word discrimination. The new tolerance insists that intolerance is a behavior of hatred, which leads eventually the tolerant to commit hate crimes. This change brings down huge problems, especially to Bible-believing Christians. They believe, or Christians believe, that God's word is the truth. John chapter 17:17. Jesus says in John 17:14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So here is a clear difference between what the truth of God is and the opinions of the world. Jesus speaks very clearly of the incompatibility between the truth of God and the world and the followers of Jesus Christ and the world. The opposing party that commits hate crime against the Christians is the world. That's what Jesus says. We see the clash of two worldviews here. The understanding of tolerance and intolerance is directly related to our daily experiences at workplaces or in schools. As citizens of Australia, we cannot face challenges against our beliefs and values from politicians and their legislative works. What then should we do? So let me give you some current events. What is happening? You know, some to me very silly episodes. Then later on, I will talk about certain concepts from the scriptures. Problems have infiltrated into every corner. I want to present some examples from around the world as well as Australia to impress upon your mind that what we will consider today is relevant to our daily life and affects us and our families not only today but in the coming days. Especially, I have a grave concern for our children, what they are receiving from their education and the school system is oftentimes quite in contradiction to what the scripture says. So they have to take a stand someday. That's why Sunday school teachers' duty and responsibility, their mission, their ministry is extremely important. In Sunday school children, every one of them will have to take a stand, especially teenagers. When they go to the universities, real challenges will come upon them, and they have to take a stand. There is no in-between. Problems issued from tolerance and intolerance controversies are heavy weights affecting us in every matter. On June 25, 2005, the BBC reported the following news about Cooperative Bank. Its title is Co-op Bank Bars Christian Group, and that's the news title. The Cooperative Bank has asked an evangelical Christian group to close its account because of its anti-homosexual views. The bank said the opinions of Christian Voice were incompatible with its support for diversity. Christian Voice said the bank, based on Manchester, was discriminating against it on religious grounds. I mean, what does it have anything to do with Christian conviction? What is the bank service and Christian understanding of God's creation of sexes? Is there any common ground? Why bank bans Christian groups from using their service, its service? It is now waiting for other religious groups with similar opinions to be asked to close accounts, it added. Christian Voice has held an account with a cooperative bank for about 3 years, but now the bank has decided the group's stance on homosexuality is so extreme, it has asked members to look for a new bank. It has come to the bank's attention that Christian Voice is engaged in discriminatory pronouncements based on the grounds of sexual orientation, a spokesman for the bank said. This public stance is incompatible with the position of the Cooperative Bank, which publicly supports diversity and dignity in all its forms for our staff, customers, and other stakeholders, end of quote. So it seems that bank is doing more than really banking service. Ideologies are coming into bank services. So unless someone is agree with the bank's ideologies, then the person is not supposed to be the customer of its services. In the name of supporting diversity, the bank eliminates one of its diverse customers. Christian organization upholding its biblical stand is forfeited its customers' rights to use the bank's services. And how many Christian, you know, bakeries have been sued by LGBTQI people by saying that they are discriminating their way of marriage and so on? But bank bans Christian organization from using its service. Second, the Daily Mail put an article written by Katie Stick and Ben Wilkinson on January the 14th, the year 2015. Its title is, "The Oxford University Press Banned Sausages and Pigs from Children's Books in Effort to Avoid Offense. Bizarre Clampdown Branded Nonsensical Political Correctness." This article says, in quote, "School book authors have been told not to write about sausages or pigs for fear of causing offense. Guidance from leading educational publisher, the Oxford University Press, prohibits authors from including anything that could be perceived as pork-related in their books. The bizarre clampdown, apparently aimed at avoiding offense among Jews and Muslims, Oxford University Press bans authors from including pork-related material in their books, so stories about sausages, pigs, and bacons are prohibited." Can you see how ridiculously things are developing? We need a Pooh. We need a Pooh story, all children's favorite story. We need a Pooh storybook has been surprisingly controversial over the years. It was briefly banned from some UK public schools in year 2003 in fear that Muslim children would be offended by a talking pig, piglet. The edict was thankfully overturned by the Muslim Council of Britain, who voted to end the well-intentioned but misguided policy. If the Muslim Council of Britain felt it unnecessary overact, I wonder who started it. Olga Hughes wrote an article on October the 3rd, year 2015, titled "Banned Books Week 2, 2015, The Persecution of Pooh and Piglet." And she said, "Even Winnie the Pooh and his adorable pal Piglet are not immune to the long arm of book censors. Only it's not just Winnie the Pooh books that have been banned. The town of Tuzin in Poland took exception to Winnie's lack of pants, banning an image of him from the local playground because of its dubious sexuality and inappropriate dress." And so this article says, one lunatic or officer stated that it doesn't wear underpants because it doesn't have a sex. It's a hermaphrodite. I have never heard that vocabulary, so I had to look up the dictionary. Hermaphrodite, which is absolutely nonsensical anywhere in any language. A Polish pants-wearing bear subsequently usurped Winnie's position as playground mascot. Communist Party censors took exception to this image of Winnie and Tigger bearing an uncanny resemblance to U.S. President Barack Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping and removed the images being shared around the Chinese social media site Weibo. It was reported that TRT in Turkey banned Walt Disney's Winnie the Pooh cartoon because of poor Piglet, again, labeling him in more things that make no sense, a notorious character. However, TRT denied the claim, saying the reports of their alleged ban of Winnie the Pooh and other cartoons featuring pigs are untrue and aim to discredit the institution. But anyway, the story was circulating. On December the 5th, 1947, New York public schools banned Christmas carols in schools. A ban on the singing of Christmas carols, which make reference to the nativity and on celebrations having a religious significance, was ordered today for 23 New York schools by an assistant superintendent of schools. In explaining the order, the officer, who is of Jewish faith, said, in quote, "The personal jollity and merrymaking are fine for children at schools, but the religious features of the day should be eliminated. Christmas should not have any sectarian or religious significance." He added that the order had been issued because the songs of Christian significance and others of Jewish significance had been sung in schools in recent years and had given offense to those of opposite faith. Mitcham Council, it's not far away from us. Mitcham Council has backflipped on a decision to scrap its annual Christmas Carol event following public outcry year 2019. It comes a week after councillors voted to ditch the long-running Carols by the Creek event, with some members believing it was too religious and not inclusive. So it's not really far away from us. We are in the middle of it. A part of the hypocritic oath says this: I will give no deadly medicine to anyone if asked, nor suggest any such counsel. And in like manner, I will not give to a woman a pessary to produce abortion. So in other words, I'm not going to help euthanasia, and I'm not going to help any abortion. This is one of the, you know, elements of this oath. A few decades ago, doctors took the Hippocratic oath, and as I read a minute ago, it includes explicit clauses against taking life, understood to forbid both abortion and assisted suicide. Since then, almost all medical schools have dropped the Hippocratic oath, or at the very least, the offending clauses. Doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals who still want to live under the constraints of the Hippocratic oath because of beliefs that prevent them from performing or participating in what are now legal but still ethically controversial acts find themselves in a strange situation. Until recently, conscience clauses protected these medical professionals, permitting them to opt out of medical procedures contrary to their conscience. Now, however, various legislative proposals are attempting to eliminate such conscience clauses around the world. The most strident voices declare that doctors, pharmacists, nurses, and the rest must put patients' rights first. Thus, in the name of more tolerance for patients' rights, the rights of doctors and other medical professionals would be curtailed, even though these patients could always go to another doctor. The new tolerance pushes such noble and ethical ideas of the Hippocratic Oath to be illegal. With these new concepts of tolerance and intolerance, the opportunists jump into the arena to fight battles for their gains. LGBTQ organizations and lobby groups have taken advantage of this change. They were able to persuade the politicians and the public to bring the private matters in bedrooms to be regulated by the law. Adults are engaging themselves in intimate relationships by consent. As Christians, we do not agree with sexual activities outside of marriage. And we uphold monogamous union between man and woman in marriage. At the same time, we do recognize that there are people who disagree with us and have different lifestyles. We express our sadness over their choices. But after all, we recognize that the law gave them the same rights as the heterosexual couples. Thus, we need to respect their choices while not consenting to them. We are free to choose our way of life based on the scriptures, and they are also free to choose their own ways as much as we express our disagreement with them freely, so they express their displeasure with us freely. In this way, both we and they are intolerant to each other by not agreeing to take the same lifestyle, but at the same time, both groups are tolerant by guaranteeing them freely to express their opinions and to propagate their thoughts. However, this changed concept of tolerance and intolerance by now is reflected in the law to say that speaking against LGBTQ lifestyle is a hate crime. It is not an expression of our thoughts, by which its opponents have lost their freedom of expressions and speeches. So we are losing our freedom of expressions and speeches. The purpose of this law is to encourage the citizens to be tolerant, to make their country more harmonious. What politicians are saying is that. However, this law of tolerance is both cruel and harsh against the ones who do not agree with new tolerance. Thus, Christian shop owners are in danger to be charged for criminal offenses if they refuse to take orders from LGBTQ wedding parties, or Christian B&B business people if they refuse to receive LGBTQ couples. This anti-intolerance or anti-discrimination law has become pro-intolerance law against Christians. In short, new tolerance makes us move from allowing the free expression of contrary opinions to the acceptance of all opinions. It curtails the freedom we have enjoyed. We are forced to be conformed to the world, even though the scripture says that the other way around we must go. The United Nations is not an exception. The United Nations in 1995 made a declaration of principles on tolerance. And declaration of principles on tolerance asserts, in quote, tolerance involves the rejection of dogmatism and absolutism. Tolerance involves the rejection of absolutism or dogmatism. Therefore, if Christian says this is not a right lifestyle, absolutely based on the scriptures, it is a form of intolerance. It does not give a room for us to hold a certain belief absolutely. If we use the same principle of tolerance by the United Nations, we may say that the statement, the tolerance involves a rejection of dogmatism and absolutism, is also an absolute statement. So by stating an absolute statement, they are rejecting or refusing us to take our own rights and the freedom. The propaganda to promote the spirit of tolerance takes another form of intolerance. Thomas A. Hamburg, executive vice president of the National Lambda Chi Alpha Fraternity, writes in 1996, already, you know, how many years ago? 20, more than 20 years ago, 30, almost 30 years ago, he said this. The definition of the new tolerance is that every individual's beliefs, values, lifestyles, and perception of truth claims are equal. There is no hierarchy of truth. Your beliefs and my beliefs are equal, and all truth is relative. That is the definition of new tolerance. That is the concept of new tolerance. The problem does not end with the world. In February year 2008, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, the most senior figure in the Church of England, you know, I normally do not use this word, foolish, I may say unwise, but in his case, for his case, I must say that he was a foolish man. Rowan Williams, he said that he supported an Islamic Sharia law to be used for Muslims in the UK. Sharia law is the system of religious laws within Islam and is derived from the Quran. It deals with all aspects of a Muslim's life, ranging from family and financial matters to personal hygiene and clothing. He argued that adopting some of its aspects seemed unavoidable. He said that giving Islamic law official status in the UK would help achieve social cohesion because some Muslims did not relate to the British legal system. Williams said introducing Sharia law would mean Muslim would no longer have to choose between two systems. In quote, if what we want socially is a pattern of relations in which a plurality of diverse and overlapping affiliations work for a common good, and in which groups of serious and profound conviction are not systematically faced with the stark alternatives of cultural loyalty or state loyalty, it seems unavoidable. End of quote. This is what extremist groups within the Muslim population in the UK have pushed hard for many, many years. What they want is the existence of parallel law in one country, instead of abiding in one same law for all citizens of a country. They want to have their own court. Parallel laws. Is this a case of tolerance? If there are parallel laws in one country, sometimes the justice in one court could be judged as a form of injustice in another court. One court says he's a martyr. Another court says he's a terrorist. William has a wrong view of tolerance, and that view has been creeping into Christian churches. That's why I cannot but say that he's a foolish man. Pardon me. So this problem is far greater than we have ever imagined. Maybe many of you have never thought of it. Then how should we respond to new tolerance? We must ask why such a strange, illogical, and unreasonable movement came into existence in the first place. It came from an idea that no one deserves to be offended. No one should be offended. It is also a typical thought of postmodernism. Encyclopedia Britannica defines it. Postmodernists deny that. These are the things they deny. Number one, there are aspects of reality that are objective. And second, they deny there are statements about reality that are objectively true or false. Number three, they deny it is possible to have knowledge of such statements, objective knowledge. So that is not a possible. They deny that there is objective knowledge in existence. Four, they deny that it is possible for human beings to know some things with certainty. In other words, we cannot know of anything with certainty. Number five, there are objective or absolute or moral values. Reality, knowledge, and value are constructed by discourses, hence they can vary with them, end of quote. That's postmodernism, and that has been pervading into, you know, universities and academics. And lots of writers and entertainment and cultural industries and artists. Everything is relative and subjective. It is no wonder when you are trying to share the gospel message with them, you are a sinner. And there is only one way for you to go to heaven, believe in Jesus Christ. And they will say, it is good for you, but not good for me. Therefore, you go your way and I go my way. That is postmodernism. Probably that is a common everyday conversation when it comes down to a very serious issues or controversial matters with anybody in the world. It is also an outcome of vain claims of political correctness. A lot of people love that term, political correctness. The Britannica explains political correctness as a term used to refer to language that seems intended to give the least amount of offense, especially when describing groups identified by external markers such as race, gender, culture, or sexual orientation. The term has often been used derisively to ridicule the notion that altering language usage can change the public perceptions and beliefs as well as influence outcomes. End of quote. So you are not expected to give people any offense. So therefore, if you say to anybody you are a sinner, well, that is a huge offense. Politically incorrect you are. Therefore, you are not supposed to say that. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are going to be ended up in hell. That is politically incorrect. So it is not a matter of truth or untruth. Everything must be truth. Every knowledge, every fact, reality must be very much subjective. There is no objective, absolute truth or morality as such. A biblical faith cannot but offend the world, therefore. It is because God is not man and man is not God. God sees both good and evil and judges. Didn't we read Hebrews chapter 1 this morning? Love and hate. Galatians 1 verse 10 says, "For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ." There is an absolute standard. If I please man, then I am not a servant of Christ. They cannot be compromised. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 15 says, "Who have both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men." Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God is not a postmodernist. God is not politically correct. God sees the good, and God sees the evil. There is a difference. There is absolute truth. And religious parties, religious harmony is possible. Some people say that religions are the causes of all conflicts and problems because they are not tolerant to each other. Though it sounds like very profound and deeply complicated, it does not have to be so. If all religions, including atheism, continue to believe what they have chosen to believe and live a life of virtue, which is the idea of their religion, and allow others to continually follow what they believe, there should not be any problem. In other words, on the one hand, we are intolerant by upholding our own faith against others' faith, but on the other hand, we are tolerant by allowing others to uphold their faith. If we all practice it, then all our understanding of tolerance and intolerance is exactly the same. It is the true picture of traditional understanding of tolerance and intolerance until some intolerant groups have changed the meanings of the words. Religious extremists have brought destructions into religious harmony. Good examples are crusades in the medieval time and terrorist groups blowing up innocent people today. The objective of the new tolerance is not only to remove extremist groups, but also to deny absolute truth. They throw the baby out with the bathwater. All they could say is that all religions will lead us to heaven anyway. And they say that that is truth. The Bible exhorts the believers to live with others harmoniously. So Galatians 5 verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Therefore, we ought to live harmoniously with our neighbors and with our, you know, with the people who may disagree with us, as long as we have opportunities. Sometimes some people have to win in every case. So eventually, their conversation will become a controversy, becoming a fight. But we should make efforts to be good to all men. And how about Romans 14, verse 19? Would you like to read it? Romans 14, 19. Let's read it. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another." Amen. So we follow the way to make peace, and we edify one another. And Romans 15 verse 2. Let's read it. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." So let us be good to other people for edification. Luke chapter 6 verse 27 says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." So there is a tolerance and intolerance. They are enemies. It is because they are different from us. And so there is an element of intolerance. But love our enemies, and that is tolerance. We must live a moral and upright life. If the new tolerance has to be right, then there is no morality left, because every opinion, every action, and every view is right on his own, on its own right. Who will say that totalitarianism is bad? Dictatorship is bad? Or that freedom is better than bondage? Who is going to make the judgment? And everyone has its own view. Is a democracy any better than Stalinism? Can child sacrifice be condemned? How should we judge the ethnic supremacist groups if all opinions are right on their own rights? Unfortunately, any society that has abandoned the belief in absolute God cannot but go to that destructive path. Christians believing in the traditional concept of tolerance must uphold the principles of truth, which leads them to live a moral and righteous living. They ought to be like their God. We must respect all men, though we may disagree with them. The fundamental value of man is found not in their ideologies, but in the image of God. We need to understand that any notion of tolerance and intolerance has its own limits. For example, the old notion of tolerance says that we should enjoy the freedom of expressing our thoughts. Let me think about religious tolerance. For example, in any free society, Muslims are entitled to enjoy their freedom of worship and freedom of expressions as much as we Christians are entitled. Thus, these two groups could coexist peacefully. It is called tolerance. However, if militant Muslims pack bombs and blow up people and properties, then their violences must not be tolerated. It is not applicable only to Islam or Muslims. Anyone, including Christians, who advocates such violent actions will face his freedom of expression curtailed. A few years ago, a man went to an abortion clinic and killed some people. He claimed to be a very passionate Christian, and he was upholding the biblical truth of the sanctity of life. We understand his motives, but we condemn his actions of killing. He could enjoy his freedom of expression in peaceful ways. We should not advocate violences in the name of our beliefs. And we must discern that new tolerance is a weapon of the power of darkness to decimate Christian faith. It is really a weapon of the devil. It denies the existence of absolutism. Therefore, we cannot absolutely say that there is God, and there is one God, and there is one triune God, and there is only one Savior. Absolutism is being hated by new tolerance. It promotes an idea of relativism. It argues that everything must be judged to be good on its merits. Therefore, you are forced to admit that there are many different ways to get to heaven, not just one way through Jesus Christ. It is because that is too absolute. Everything must be relevant. This person may not believe in Jesus, may not believe in God, but in his own terms, he's a seeking for heavenly way. Therefore, he will get to heaven. That is the idea. New tolerance. However, even this seemingly broad understanding of tolerance has something to refuse. It does not tolerate the things of what it judges to be intolerant. For example, the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven, by which it does not tolerate all other teachings, which makes the biblical truth a form of intolerance. And so that's why some extremists are saying that the Bible is the book of hate crimes. According to this new tolerance, Christians' intolerance of other teachings about salvation belongs to a category of the supreme vice. It calls the biblical faith as bigotry, narrow-mindedness, or ignorance. New tolerance has become a belief that defeats all other beliefs. Therefore, any belief against the new tolerance must be defeated. The advocates of new tolerance may listen to us with some intellectual interest, but rapidly dismiss everything we say about Christ, the cross, his redemption, or forgiveness of sins. It is because this new tolerance itself is a belief that has to defeat all other beliefs. It promotes a tolerance indiscriminately. Thus, when we talk about right and wrong, we are told that we are too judgmental. In today's culture, being judgmental is a really a bad thing, even if it is a case of making good discernments. We should be able to see two inherent problems with new tolerance. Number one, the new tolerance is mostly culturally constructed and fabricated in the Western culture. For example, the Harvard chaplains organized the United Ministry, and not all religious groups have joined it, obviously. The chaplains feel it necessary to warn against certain destructive religious groups who are not part of the United Ministry. The chaplains, in quote, are committed to mutual respect and non-proselytization. We affirm the roles of personal freedom, doubt, and open critical reflection in healthy spiritual growth. We are here to help you have a healthy, happy experience of your own spiritual journey while you are here at Harvard. End of quote. In other words, if we say that we cannot join the group because universalists are there, there are people who deny the triune God. Even there are groups that deny the oneness of God, or there is only one God. There are multiple gods they are proclaiming, but still we have to join them. But because of biblical conviction, we are not joining them. Then these chaplains are saying that these groups are very destructive and dangerous groups because they are not joining us. What they say and warn is not in line with what Jesus teaches in the Bible. Their thoughts are all their own. They want new tolerance. They call others as, in quote, ego destruction, mind control, manipulation of a member's relationships with family and friends, end of quote. That's their saying. So if we uphold our biblical faith, we are having all these problems, ego destruction, mind control, manipulation of a member's relationships with family and friends. The new tolerance keeps us from thinking about right and wrong and about truth and error. If all thoughts have equally true, then there is no wrong, no error, or no false. Then there is no legal system. We cannot have a legal system if that is really true. And denying new tolerance is wrong, they say. Such ideas are promoted by academics, politicians, and leading mass medias, university professors, all uni students or those ones who are going to universities. If you follow your professors, it is very possible that you are going to follow into wrong and destructive ways against the scripture teachings. It reminds me of Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we ought to know the truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 say this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth declares that the world is not a lover of Jesus, John 7:7. Let me ask you to turn your Bibles to John 7, verse 7. Let's read it together, shall we? The world. Amen. It says, the world hates Jesus Christ. If the world hates Jesus Christ, can we love the worldview of this world? Can we love this world? The works in the world are evil, of which the Lord cannot and will not tolerate. And because of that, the world hates the Lord. The truth declares that the world will not love Christ's followers. You are already in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Turn your Bible to John chapter 15, verse 18. Let's read it. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Amen. So it is almost like a customary talk of Jesus, as if it is just an ordinary event. The world hates you. It is because the world hates me. And on the other hand, if we just change the wording a little bit, if the world loves you, what does it indicate? The truth declares that the world will not love Christ's followers. The world will not tolerate the Christians, and it is a sign that they are following their master, Jesus. So we may face lots of insensible, unreasonable, illogical happenings. John 17, verse 14. John 17, 14. Let's read it. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That is just a simple definition of who Christian is. What makes the difference between the world and the followers of Jesus is the truth, the word of truth, absolute truth. That's why New Tolerance hates absolutism. Luke 21, verse 17 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Christ's followers will not be tolerated by the world. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. It's a very short verse, but it declares like this. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Luke 6, verse 22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your names as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Jesus says, blessed are ye. The truth declares that the world cannot tolerate Jesus. John chapter 15. John 15, verses 24 and 25. John chapter 15, 24 and 25. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. That's the end of verse 25. They hated me without a cause. That's what Jesus said. The truth declares that Christ's followers are in the newness of life and have a different path. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. In other words, believers before conversion and after conversion, there are huge differences. Why they are different? It is because worldview has been changed. And their pathway is different now. The truth declares that there are things Christ followers cannot tolerate. So Micah chapter 3 verse 2 says, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. So the world hates the good. Amos 5 verse 15 says, very simple command. Amos 5 verse 15. Let me ask you to find the verse. To find the book of Amos, you should have been a regular Bible reader. Otherwise, pretty difficult to find the book. Amos 5 verse 15. Amos 5 verse 15. Let's read it together. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Amen. So hate the evil and love the good, not embracing everything as if everything is all right. And also he says, establish judgment in the gate. Judgment is oftentimes translated as justice. The truth declares that God does not tolerate everything endlessly. There will be a day of judgment. And Revelation chapter 2 verse 6 says, but this thou hast... Now Jesus is talking to the Ephesian believers, Ephesian church. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Nicolaitans' teachings were hated by the Ephesian believers, and Jesus was commending them for that. And Jesus said, I also hate them. Not as if Nicolaitans' doctrines and their teachings are all right. Revelation chapter 2 verse 15 also says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I want you to know that there are things that God loves, and there are things God hates. And God wants us to follow his footsteps. There are a lot of occasions in which we really do not know what to do. And by taking the pathway of Jesus Christ, we may lose certain things. And if we want to gain everything, then eventually we'll lose our relationship with Christ Jesus. Which way are you going to go? All these things are brought down to our minds because of tolerance and intolerance issues in current years. Each and every one of us has to make up our minds. New tolerance is a weapon that the unbelieving world is using against the absolute truth of God. It demands the believers to accept the things of the world as truthful, as the things of God. While the scripture says that the friend of this world is the enemy of God in James 4:4. We must be able to discern the truth by knowing the truth and strive to uphold the biblical faith in God. And at the same time, we ought to live a righteous life to be a shining light of the world. Some people may say, you Christians are too dogmatic. By saying that unless you believe in Jesus Christ, you go to hell. And you are not loving. And you are discriminating. You are judgmental. But I must tell you this. Even though you are offended, even though blames are coming upon us, believers, upon me, even though accusations have to be thrown against me, but if I do not say that unless you believe in Jesus Christ, you are going to hell, I do not love you. If I do not love you, I'd better just leave you alone. Then you are not going to be offended. You do not have to offend me. You do not have to accuse me. You do not have to blame me for anything. We can have a very peaceful relationship. But that is a clear sign of my hatred for you. Because I love you, I cannot but say that you must believe in Jesus in order to be saved, in order to be forgiven. We respect others' right to express their thoughts while we insist on our right on freedom of speech and thoughts. We must be tolerant without compromise. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we have been thinking about tolerance and intolerance issues, Lord. After all these things are truly socially and culturally constructed ideas against the truth of God, contrary to what the Word of God teaches us. Dear gracious Lord, help us to see the light and know the truth and understand the truth of God. And also, grant us the courage and boldness to take a stand when we have to do it. But at the same time, while we are proclaiming the truth, we may exercise and practice mercy and love. We pray in Jesus' name.